In the African rainforest lives the king of trees, gliding along the canopy, seeking prey in his sky domain. His crown is slight, but not his bite. One peck sends his subjects into an eternal slumber. Leave the ground to his cobra kin, where competition is fierce and enemies abound. But up here in the treetops is the perfect place for Goldie's tree cobra to make a life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie... to hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify. I got the yips on that one.
Yeah. You're thinking... You're in your own head. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website, LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about danger from above. But more on that later.
Yes, it's Africa. So danger comes from all sides.
Every direction.
Because that place is... chock full of just the most dangerous animals. It's so funny to me to see, like, oh, Australia is this
with no megafauna
place, and it's like, man, if I could choose between, like, being lost in the outback, Australian outback, or like the African savannah, I would choose the outback every time. I mean, I know there's a lot of, like, venomous spiders and all that stuff, but there's not lions. I like the fact there aren't any lions. I'll take dingoes over lions, thank you. But anyway, as I alluded to, mentioned, overtly stated, this is an African animal. This is Goldie's tree cobra.
Yeah.
Also known as the forest cobra, the tree cobra, or the African tree cobra. But we're going to call it here the toxic branch manager and Hoodie and the blowfish.
Okay.
Yep.
I feel like you've done this before.
Have I done Hoodie and the blowfish?
I think so.
I don't know. I'm in a phase of my life where I just don't consume new media all that much. So I just start to recycle the same bands and movies. So maybe I have. Maybe I'm a broken record. But I thought this was perfect. Unless I did it for the last cobra we did. I bet you I did.
Maybe.
I bet you we did for like the king cobra or something I did. I called it Hoodie and the Blowfish. Or maybe for the blowfish, who knows? But let's taxonomize this boy while we're at it. The kingdom is one you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is, of course, Animalia, the famous one. The phylum is Chordata. The subphylum is Vertebrata. The class is Reptilia. By the strokes, the order is Squamata. The suborder is Serpentes. Snakes, obviously. Squamata also includes like lizards and stuff. The family is Elapidae. The genus is Pseudohaje or Haye, depending on how you want to pronounce J's. And the species is Goldie with two I's.
Oh, great.
So we have the binomial nomenclature of Pseudohaje Goldie, which means we've made it to the listener's favorite part of the show, my favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is the same every time. What is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case, again, is Tsurohaji Goldie. What does that mean? Does that mean A, false forest hood, B, golden hooded climber, C, precious false cobra, or D, tree dwelling false gold? I can say them faster. I realize it may have muddled things by saying them slowly.
Uh-huh.
False forest hood, golden hooded climber, precious false cobra, or tree dwelling false gold.
Precious false cobra, final answer.
That is correct.
Nice. I knew you were going to go deep on the meaning of gold. Does it just mean...
it means gold. It can mean either... Goldie is Germanic for gold or precious. Something golden, something precious.
Something borrowed, something new.
Yes. Something Bob caters for you. Yes, so... Haji, obviously pseudo means false. Haji is derived from the Arabic Haya or Haja, which is for snake, or more specifically a cobra. So it's a false, really it's a false golden cobra, but it could also be a false precious cobra. But yeah, let's talk about what this guy looks like. It is a long and sleek snake. So if you're thinking of one of those thick with two C's pit vipers, get that out of your head. It's long and sleek.
Mm-hmm.
Its color ranges from olive green to brown, or even very close to black, with a countershaded cream color on the underside. Think maybe more water moccasin colors. It has smooth, glossy scales. Give it that polished sheen that some snakes have that make them look perpetually wet and slimy, even though they're not. Its head is slightly distinct from the neck, but is one of those, it's kind of like a coral snake in which its head kind of just tapers off. It's not, again, not like a pit viper that has this huge arrow-shaped head on the end of its body. The Goldie tree cobra tapers off more. It can flatten its neck slightly, like a cobra, not as dramatic as your typical king,
like
or
king
spitting
cobra.
Yeah. Not like Arbok, but it can flare out its neck a little bit, and it has a long tail that is built for balance and gripping things. But as I've mentioned, it's long. It's sleek. How long is it? That's the question everyone's asking.
Welcome to the Blood Measure-Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for their whole family. It's also part of the show that is introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering. The words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have any measure of intro this week, but that means we think of an animal. And Carlos has to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listeners part of the show. Who is that?
That is not a cobra.
No, but...
You just call him a cobra.
Yeah.
At some point.
I looked up famous cobras and they said Nigiri from Harry Potter. I'm like, that's a python.
That's not
if
a
I've
cobra.
Ever seen. But it's a python with poison, right? It looks like a python in the movie. But I
don't think
it's
actually,
venomous.
I don't think it actually... It's also magic. Who cares? But Jafar turns into a cobra.
True.
That's a good one. But anyway, the one that you mentioned, that is Sir Hiss.
Yes.
The lackey of Prince John in the Robin Hood.
So in that scene, Prince John says, it's a banner day, it's a red letter day.
To coin the Norman phrase.
It's a coup d'etat. To coin the Norman phrase.
A coup d'etat. Right.
But he's trying to capture... What does the word coup d'etat mean? I thought that was just...
It's a hit on the state. That's what it means. It literally translates to hitting the state.
So why is he saying capturing?
Because the writers didn't understand French.
Maybe.
Or yeah, it's definitely not the coup already happened when Prince John took Richard's throne. Apprehending an outlaw, that's not a coup d'etat. But right, yeah. We can criticize Disney in the 60s all we want.
Considering the power in the hearts of the people as the state.
It's a
stretched metaphor for sure.
That is a very not medieval line of political thinking.
Well, anyway, this episode is suggested by Stonekite. It was suggested by Stonekite.
Stonekite, I love it. I still love that name.
On Spotify. So if you have suggestions, leave us a message on Spotify or email or anywhere else you can find us. Oh, Patreon. And we also got an email from Rowan, who said, thank you for doing the Black Rat. Rowan says he's 11. He lives in Perth in Australia. And his mom and dad bought him the Sunset Bear t-shirt for Christmas.
Nice. I wore that all day. It was chilly, and I wore not the t-shirt, I have the sweater. And I was walking around with it, and I'm like, man, I love this design. So I'm happy that that Rowan is enjoying that design as well.
Rowan, thank your parents again, because I can't imagine the shipping and handling getting that to Australia was cheap. So I appreciate it.
Teespring probably has distribution centers in like Singapore or something like
that. Could be. That's true. It probably is coming. It's a shorter journey if you really think about it. But also, he says he's crazy into animals and he has a hobby that people think is weird. He collects dead specimens of animals that he finds, including fish, beetles, Australian cockroaches, lizards, scorpion. An eggshell from a bird, I'm pretty sure. These wasps, a wasp-looking bug. But it is black and silver, not yellow. Oh, huh. I want to know what this bug is.
A black and silver wasp-looking bug.
Black and
silver
Australian
That is definitely a robot that the government has made to replace wasps and surveil on its citizens.
Black and silver. Rowan, could it be the blue-eyed black and silver wasp? Tachysphexmilis?
I think that is a cool hobby and occupation, especially for someone so young to have, like to collect specimens and then and study them. Usually kids just like crush things and don't care about it.
Yes.
But to collect and study, that is very, very interesting.
Yes.
I imagine that doing that with fish might make your parents unhappy.
As long as you are properly preserving Rowan.
Yeah, but with like scorpions and stuff, I mean, it's not like they smell a bunch when they...
No, they just desiccate. They're exoskeletons. Rowan, was it the hatchet wasp? Look up a picture of the hatchet wasp. If anyone knows what that bug is, tell Rowan and us. Let's talk about their length.
Anyway, thanks, Rowan.
Yeah.
Australian listener, we've been talking. I feel like we've been talking a lot about Australia recently, and not just because I've become a fan of Bluey over the past year. But you know, mm-hmm. we had some questions. I think last time, I forgot what our questions were. But
there's just a lot of interesting animals there.
What's like? What are Australians' perceptions of like their fauna and stuff like that?
Also, what are people doing in the north?
Oh, yeah. It was Well, again, it's Bluey. They live in a house in Queensland, in Brisbane in particular, and they just have their doors open. They don't have any air conditioning. And they just have their doors open all the time. And it's like, how do you not get flying murder scorpions in your, and snakes and all kinds, all manner of things that I assume are just constantly prowling the streets mm-hmm. of Australian suburbia, waiting to get into your house. That just doesn't seem like, given the international perception of Australia, that you would just leave your doors and windows open there. I don't leave my doors and windows open in Florida because I am gonna get wasps in my house. I'm gonna get black widows. I'm probably gonna get a few rattlesnakes. Like we got a lot of stuff that I don't want in the house here. So if I open a window, it's got to have a screen. So
there's a lot of like lower stakes things I don't want in the house, like roaches and
yes,
mice,
roaches,
and
termites, and all
frogs and lizards. Well, oh, at church,
and I have scorpions too.
We just removed, finally caught an iguana that was in church, in the sanctuary, like, and was crawling around like in the, like, what do you call eaves?
In the rafters,
like rafters. And you could see
man.
It. It was a distraction. The kids could not
that
take their eyes off of it. and we just got rid of it. We just got rid of it. Finally.
I cannot imagine just trying to have like a serious church service. And there's
a huge,
just,
it was actually not this, a huge lizard, but it was, okay. It was a young iguana, but it was big enough.
It's like when there's like birds inside Costco.
Big enough to make noise when it was moving.
At least it wasn't one of the ones that's like 5.5 feet long, like the size of a cocker spaniel. Just this big orange dinosaur lounging in the rafters at church. Anyway, yeah, we're way off topic.
Yeah, so their length is 2.2 to 2.7 meters or 7.2 to 8.9 feet. A traditional talking drum is a large hourglass slit drum used for long-distance communication in West Africa from the Achan people of the Ivory Coast. True or false? The talking drum is the same length as a Goldie's tree cobra. We're talking length. It's a long drum. not the diameter of the drum.
It is the Ivory Coast or the Cote d'Ivoire, to coin the Norman phrase. I like the idea that you'll just say the French version of anything and coin a Norman phrase from it.
To coin.
Yeah, you
coin. Did he say to coin or did he say to quote?
I'm pretty sure he said coin.
That's funny.
I mean, it is Robin Hood era, so like the like what 1100s.
The engine,
so,
was
I mean,
that the Angevin Empire.
Well, the Norman conquest of the island of Britain was what 1066. That's the Battle of Hastings,
right?
So it's right around that time. So I imagine. Anyway, wow. That's anyway. Let's talk about this drum. No, I think the drum is smaller. I think that the snake is longer than the drum. Final answer.
The correct answer is true. The drum and this is about 2.7 meters. Some
How many
of them
feet
are.
Did you say?
To
Eight
be
feet?
Fair, you're also kind of right because there are. I looked up a picture. There's so many varieties of a talking drum. But they can be tall.
And there's a lot of varieties of snakes.
True. Let's talk about their weight. 4 to 10 kilograms or 22 pounds. The fruit of the sausage tree is a large oblong shape that hangs from a thin stalk like a pendulum. True or false, the African sausage tree fruit is the same weight as the Goldie's tree cobra.
I have seen this tree at Fairchild Tropical Gardens in Miami. they have an African sausage tree. And it is it's like these big tan eggplant things mm-hmm. hanging down. After watching the Alien series, I don't trust them. Mm-hmm. They definitely look like things that would open up and consume you whole. I never picked one up, so I don't know how heavy they are. But we'll go with true. 22 pounds. That is really heavy. But I'll go with true.
Final answer?
Yes.
Correct answer is true. They can be up to 22 pounds. Can you imagine dangling 22 pounds from like those thin like plant stalks?
Yeah. Those got to be some fibrous stalks.
Yeah.
if you catch my drift.
But that's what I got for that. Do you have any little facts before we get into the big fact?
I sure do. These facts are rapid. The Goldie's tree cobra is found in Central and West Africa, especially in countries like the Democratic Republic of Congo and surrounding regions. Basically, anywhere where the trees are tall and your lifespan is short. Holy moly. Like, go look up, if you've never looked up the Congo War, that is nuts. That country has been through it. Anyway, I was just recently looking that up and I was like, I can't believe that is not taught in schools. It's a world war, but on the African continent. Anywho, situations like that political conflict and the existence of this steak in particular are two reasons why your life may not be very long in the Congo Basin. The cobra, the Goldie's tree cobra, prefers these dense tropical rainforests and woodlands. They like to eat small mammals, birds, amphibians. If it moves, it fits in the mouth. It's on the menu. It's back on the menu, boys. It uses a potent neurotoxic venom to immobilize its prey and to immobilize it quickly because it doesn't like to chase things like most snakes. Not big on chasing, big on ambush. They are pretty shy, but they can be defensive if they're threatened. They don't go looking for fights, but they will absolutely finish them. The venom itself attacks the nervous system and is very dangerous to humans. It makes it one of those admire from the comfort of a documentary kind of animals. And they can live for about 15 to 20 years in the wild. Provided that it does not become prey for like larger birds like eagles and mammals like civets and mongooses. I didn't know there were mongooses in Africa, but there's several species of mongooses in Africa.
And then if you have, they can like, be the in India, they can be stuff. In Africa.
Rikki, yeah, but tiki, tabby. I mean, if so, I mean, does the same apply to tigers?
Yes, probably historically. Yes, lions.
They can be, but are they?
Not anymore.
I feel like a tiger would really disrupt the balance of the circle of life in Africa if there were suddenly like a population of tigers.
Well, suddenly, yes. All I know is that lions used to be everywhere, and now they're just confined to Africa. Or else you wouldn't have all those fun biblical proverbs or you can't go out because there's a lion outside, and how that's a bad excuse. Sounds like a good excuse, but I think he was lying.
Humanity as a whole drew a line in the Sahara Desert sand and said this far and no further. And that's all I got for the Goldie's tree cobra. Do you have any major facts?
Oh, the historically tigers stretched all the way to Turkey.
That's not quite to Africa.
Not quite, but it's far.
Imagine. They probably don't like desert conditions all that much.
No, they probably like forests. They're built for forests with that pattern disruption.
And being solitary maybe causes them to behave differently than lions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm calling this Major Fact Cobra High. most cobras are not primary tree dwellers. The majority of species in the genus of true cobras are terrestrial, meaning they spend most of their time on the ground. Some will climb occasionally, for example, to escape danger or to raid a bird's nest with some tasty eggs, but they are not specialized for tree life. But there's a small subset of cobras, primarily, particularly the so-called tree cobras, like Goldie's, which are highly arboreal and spend much of their lives in the canopy. So these species tend to have longer, more slender bodies and stronger climbing ability than their ground-dwelling relatives. Its tree-dwelling behavior is an adaptation that provides a couple advantages. Living in the canopy allows it to exploit food sources, of course, that ground-dwelling snakes cannot easily obtain. They love to eat birds and eggs and arboreal rodents. Like a squirrel, I guess. An arboreal rodent. Yeah. A squirrel.
I can't think of any others.
Unless you're a rat in a tree. Tree rat.
Then, yeah. you might be a little out of place.
I don't know. I feel like rats pretty much go everywhere. They're like the Johnny Cash of rodents.
Tree rat? I don't buy that.
where are they at home more, the street or the tree? The being in trees reduces competition with other predators. That, you know, the ground is the great equalizer. We all go to the ground.
I thought guns were the great equalizer, but okay, tell me how the ground is the great equalizer.
Except for all land animals, the land is a place that is an option for you.
Yes. Even if you can not be on land, it's better to not.
True.
There's too much competition down there.
Right. The elevated position also offers some protection from ground-based predators. And creates opportunities for ambush hunting, where the snake can remain concealed and strike quickly as prey moves through branches. I would imagine it also makes it so that, like, your prey has a very limited area of escape. You have to go Tarzan style. You have to do some tree surfing.
Or sugar glider style.
It's funny how nobody ever talked about how ridiculous the physics of Tarzan's tree surfing was.
Tarzan's tree surfing was the single coolest thing I had ever seen for years of my life. I give him more clothes and I wanted to be Tarzan so bad. And
all I think about is how Splinter's would happen.
Yeah. Any attempt to do the tree surfing was met with abject failure. I will give you that one. Even in Florida, where we're in South Florida, with all those
moisture and moss,
big ficus trees, which have really smooth bark and lots of, like, you know, undulating branches and stuff, is like the perfect perfect Tarzan situation, and I still couldn't make it work. Also, you know, there's always falling off the tree that's on the table.
They literally just were like, we want to give him a surfer vibe. let's make him just defy physics.
That was, but he moves so fast. He's so cool. And then you have to do it in Kingdom Hearts, and it's, and then it's not cool at all.
Only he can do it. You have to look like a surfer to do it. So another important factor is the environment itself. Rainforest canopies provide stable humidity and temperature conditions, and they're well suited to the physiology of the Goldie's cobra. It's also more possible to live your whole life in a rainforest canopy than places where other cobras live, like where, like the savannah or some place where, like, it just makes more like rocky terrain. The rainforest has the trees necessary to maintain an arboreal lifestyle. They're harnessing tree power, rainforest power, like Paul Atreides, not desert power.
Not desert power, yeah.
Over time, the Goldie's tree cobra adapted the traits that support the lifestyle of a tree dweller, including the long, slender body, strong muscles for climbing, and excellent balance. They're longer than their kin because they need to be longer in order to reach the next branch. It's just a matter of they reached so much.
They stretch themselves
like basketball players.
Like
why are all the basketball players tall? Because they stretch a lot.
Because they dead hang and it makes them taller.
Yeah. Well, they're reaching for the hoop, and all that stretching.
this is a real chicken and egg situation.
Yeah. So their bodily features allow them to move efficiently both in trees and on the ground, but especially in tree life. They're super fast also. They're very nimble, which is scary. When a deadly cobra is quick and agile, that's scary.
And above you.
Yeah, and above you.
And has a high ground.
Since they are mostly arboreal and super fast and nervous and quick to flee, it's very elusive and recorded bites are rare. So there's not a lot of study, but all things point to do not get bit by this thing. It could cause respiratory failure and paralysis and a bad time for all, except for your enemies. So yes, it's not common to be bit by this thing, but don't like just go around shaking trees in Africa.
Don't go climbing trees and swatting all the branches and seeing what comes out.
Don't swing from vines and then grab this snake and think, it was just another vine, and now I'm falling, and I have a deadly poisonous snake.
That, I feel like, is a common movie trope, although I can't think of too many, like, exact examples. But the whole idea of, like, oh, I'm going to grab this vine, and it ends up being a snake, that's like slipping on a banana peel.
It's like quicksand.
Yeah, except that, I mean, this seems a little bit more probable than quicksand.
I mean, I don't think even people that go like exploring the rainforest are swinging from the vines.
No, but like climbing up something or being in a tree and then like thinking you're about to put your hand on a branch and it turns out to be a snake.
Oof. It's bad. It's a bad surprise for everyone, including the snake.
Yeah. So when you're climbing, just make sure you're Goldie locked in.
Yeah. I thought that was the ending.
Oh, that would have been a good ending. I just came up with it just now. Goldie locked in. Yeah. I was trying to find a snakes on planes thing. But there's a lot of swearing in that So opted against it.
He's tired of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday through Friday plane. On
this Monday through Friday plane. And the plane in Spain stays mainly on the rain.
True.
I don't know.
In Spain.
All right. That's the Goldie's tree cobra. My as an anecdote, my father-in-law had a client. He's a dairy consultant. He had a client in Tanzania, and one of the first things they told him was to not walk under trees if he could avoid it, because there were green mambas in the trees that like to drop down on people.
Like to?
Like, yeah. I mean, I guess like to have a penchant for. Like, it was happening.
Well, why would they? Unless it was an accident.
Territorialness, or just maybe. Like feeling threatened? Because, I mean, sometimes those trees, I mean, I don't know all the specifics. Maybe the tree branches were pretty low. You're just they're just a few feet above you, and a green mamba just decides you're too close, and I need to eliminate you from the situation.
Right.
I don't think it's like you're standing, and like
20 feet from 20 feet up.
The canopy's 40 feet above you, and it just skydiving special ops like green mamba comes. Plopping down at your head at terminal velocity. Killing both of you.
If the venom doesn't kill you, the blunt yeah. damage will.
Just getting 15-pound snakes hitting you in the head. But yeah. And that's Tanzania. That's not the Congo River Basin. But like, it's just... There are snakes in the trees in Africa, man. You're not safe anywhere. And the crocodiles can run after you. So
they can attack you from a bush in Africa.
Yeah. There's my hat's off to anyone who lives.
That should be illegal.
To take your hat off?
No, to get attacked by a crocodile from a bush.
You should be tried by like an international court.
Yeah.
It's like, you weren't allowed to use bushes. You aren't allowed to you aren't allowed to fly under a friendly flag.
Where was that flag. A discovery?
But yeah, okay, so that's the Goldie's tree cobra. For you out there in Podcastia, slither up a tree, Goldie lock in, force an injection on your enemies. Like, fight, I mean... Goldie's tree cobra here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
Truly heinous advice.